let's open up into Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 1. This, as we're continuing on in our series, this week my pellet stove broke down, and the thing about my pellet stove is that Vicky's got to fix it because she's the only small one that can actually get back there and do anything about it. And on Thursday, it broke. It blew up. My whole house was filling up with smoke, and my dogs are wondering if they're going to die. It was nasty. My house still smells like a chimney from Thursday. It was bad. And so Vicky's back there on Friday for like 4 hours, taking this machine apart, going through it up and down and sideways, and she finds out that there's this fuse that was blown. So she pulls it out, and she gives it to me, and she's, and remind, this is taking her like 4 hours. So she pulls out the fuse, she gives it to me, and she goes, "Jason, go to Ace Hardware and grab a fuse that's 10 amp. So I show up at Ace Hardware, and I'm like, "Yeah, I need a 10 amp fuse this big." And they're like, "Well, we don't have one that size, but we do have one that size and a 5 amp. And I'm like, "I'm not an electrician." "Fine, let's go for it." So I get, it's the same size. So I grab this 5 amp fuse, and I give it to Vicky. She crawls back in the hole for like a few hours, gets the amp in, and then she emerges from the darkness of behind this thing, like just so mad because, you know, it was hard. And she puts that fuse in there, and she hits the on button, and the good news is it worked. Yeah, I was like, praise God. And then it blew up a minute later. And so this is now like on Friday night. And so Saturday morning, I hear her in the bedroom talking to Guy and Erica on the phone, and I'm out reading my Bible in the living room. And she's just saying, "Man, this thing, I don't know what to do with this. It's, you know, I've done everything I could do. I spent all these hours on it." And I felt in my heart that at that moment, I should probably tell her, "Hey, I gave you a 5-amp fuse instead of a 10-amp. And because, you know, I didn't tell her that. And so I'm on the couch, and I said, "Hey, babe, you know, I don't know if it really makes much of a difference, but you were looking for a 10 amp. They didn't have one, and that was a 5 amp. And she was so mad, you guys. She said, "You know, you think you could have told me that before I spent all these hours putting in the wrong fuse?" And she looked at me in disgust, and she says, "Jesus is going to get you back for this." And so that made me mad. Okay, so now, so listen, I'm going to tell you guys a little marriage advice. This is a hack, okay? Anytime you're in trouble, okay, let's say your wife has got a valid point. Turn the whole thing around on her like it's her fault, and she'll drop it because she's going to think you're so crazy she can't reason with you. So this is what you do. You flip it around. And I got mad because she's like, "You know, Jesus is going to get you." And I said, "Wait a second." I said, "Now, you've got such a good understanding of that stove, you could be a repair person." That's not what you should say, because that was like the wrong thing, and she was just so livid. But I just turned it around on her, and she goes, "Man, you are crazy." And that was the end of the argument. So it was kind of cool. Whenever you're in trouble, turn it around on them, no matter how crazy it is, and they're just going to think, "I can't rationalize with you, I'm done." And you're like, exactly, right? Go get a gun, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I was thinking about how Vicky has such a good understanding of the stove because of what she went through with it. We've been looking at the disciples, and they've got such a better understanding with the Lord because of what they've been going through with him. You remember the storm last week and going through the couple weeks ago and going through the storm with Jesus? And they're seeing Jesus in a light that they've never seen him in before because of what they're going through him with. And how many of you guys would say that you've gone through difficult seasons with the Lord? And at the end of it, you can see the Lord in a whole different way than you ever did before. And so in chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 1. And the way it starts out is that the Lord is calling the disciples together. And he's, you know, telling them that there's going to be work that needs to be done because the world's a dumpster fire. And he's getting ready to send these guys out. Check out chapter 9, verse 38 real quick. He says, "Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest." Now, what's interesting about this is that when he's asking them to do this, he's like, "Pray that people will get involved and go out on mission and spread the gospel." What they don't know yet is that it's going to be them doing it. And it's kind of funny to me because God will sometimes do that with us, where he'll lay a need on your heart, and then pray about it, and then he wants you to go out and fulfill the need. You know, it's kind of like you go to Walmart, you see that girl you see all the time, and you're just like, man, Lord, I don't know why this girl's on my heart. I see her all the time at Walmart. You know, if she could just, you know, someone would reach out to her, and I'm praying for her, and the Lord's like, that's great. You're the one to go and do it. Or if you see that guy, and, you know, maybe he's walking around with the Taylor Swift t-shirt and the head tattoos, and you're like, dang, this guy's an interesting combination. Who could he reach? And man, just send somebody to him, Lord. And the Lord's like, hey, that's a good idea. How about you? And sometimes the Lord will do that where he'll put a need on our heart, and then all of a sudden, he'll tell us to go out and do it. So in chapter 10, verse 1, he's going to send out the apostles, and but they don't know it's them yet, but they're going to find out. Check out verse 1. And then he called them, the 12, to his disciples, and gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Who can name them without looking in your Bible? Anybody? Chad's like, don't ask that one. So we've got Simon, Peter, who's called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So the interesting thing about it is when Jesus, Matthew's saying, he called his disciples together. And you guys, the word disciple means that they had been sitting with Jesus, listening to Jesus, watching Jesus do what he does, and now he's asking them to go out and do what he's been doing. That's what a disciple is. We are all disciples, listening to the Lord, you know, his teachings, watching what he does in scripture and going out and doing it. And that's the way God does it. It's baby steps. It's baby steps when it comes to serving the Lord. It really is. And I thank God that he doesn't teach us the way some of our parents taught us to do stuff. Amen. I was thinking about my mom when she taught me how to ride a bike. And the way it was is she took me to a hill, took off my training wheels, no joke. And at the end of the hill, there was a sandbox with a 2x12 that stopped everything. And she's like, man, go for it. And she pushes me down this hill. I end up endoing into the sandbox, getting jacked up. And then the way she taught me to swim was, she said, Jason, let's go over to the deep end. And I'm like, okay, I was seeing this kind of be a bonding moment, you know, I was just, something special was going to happen with my mom that I'd never forget. And so she takes me to the deep end, and she does the whole Sparta from 300 thing, boom, and she kicks me right into the deep end. I kid you not, my mom was built different. This girl was, she was different. And thank God, I mean, I learned, I got to the edge and I figured it out, but she had a rough way of showing me how to do stuff. But when it comes to the Lord, and we were just talking about it, Todd, about, you know, how we go out and how God works, and basically what it is it's little steps by spending time with Jesus. In the morning, in your quiet time, when we're teaching the Word of God here on Sunday, this comes from spending time with the Lord Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, I'm just not waking up Sunday morning and going, oh God, please, you know, we need something for Sunday. And our Sunday school teachers, of course we've got curriculum, but they got Jesus. It's out of that time alone with Jesus, the Sunday workers are ministering to our kids. Worship, you know, Philip getting up here and leading, and Christine helping out and starting to help with worship and stuff. This comes from time that we're spending alone with the Lord, you guys. And it's important that, you know, that what we're getting from the Lord, we're giving out to other people. It's very important to get it, because, you know, I always think about how it's easy to get to church, hear a word from God, worship, pray, take communion, and then leave here like nothing ever happened. And the problem with that is that's going to create a stagnation in your life. Have you ever seen Christians and they're just miserable? They really are. Some of them, they're just depressed, they're miserable, there's no joy of the Holy Spirit in these guys. And here's the reason why: they're saved, but they're stagnant. And it's like a river. You know, when you look at the map of Jerusalem and that area where Galilee is, and the river comes down into the Jordan, and the Jordan dumps out into the Dead Sea, as long as it's flowing, there's life. But the Dead Sea, the buck stops there. There's no outflow. So what happens in the Dead Sea when it's not flowing out? It's just dead stuff. And when we're getting downloaded and we're coming to the Lord, we're hearing a word and we're just taking it in and we're not giving it out, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get stagnant. And God's like, I'm trying to wake you up, because we're not to be a pond, but a river, where God is flowing his word through us, we're sitting with the Lord, and then we're flowing out to others. And the question, you know, sometimes people are like, well, when do I start doing that? I'm kind of new to Christianity. When do you start telling people about the difference God's made in your life? Now. If you woke up this morning and you had devotions and the Lord spoke to you, then go and share it with somebody. You know, it's what you're hearing in that time alone with the Lord that we just go out and we share. You guys, you could do it tonight, tomorrow, whatever. But the point of it is as he's getting the disciples together, they've been sitting at the feet long enough. They've been listening long enough. They've been learning long enough. And now it's time to take the training wheels off and to send these guys out on a little mission. In verse 5, it says, "And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So what's going on here, it's kind of interesting. Jesus is sending these guys out on a little mission. It's not the big mission. We're going to see that later, but it's just going to the people directly around them, the Jews directly around them. And this isn't necessarily, prejudice, I guess is the word, as much as priority. They're to go to the house of the lost sheep of Israel, their neighbors right in their backyard. Now, there was Jews up in Galilee. There was Jews up in the Decapolis. But Jesus is like, I want you to just go out a little ways right here and start with your people, because, you know, and I'm sure you guys are going to agree that if you want to get the message out about Christ, about the Messiah, you're going to take it to people that are expecting one, right? And so these guys are expecting the Messiah, the King of the Jews that would come. And he's like, I'm here and I want you to share it. And I want this thing to go boom as fast as possible. So share it with those who are ready to hear it. And so he sends them out on mission. But it's a temporary one, because in Matthew 28, he says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I say that because if you're here and you're like, man, I'd really like to share the gospel with somebody, Jason, but I just don't know a Jew. Well, good news. You don't need to. We're all on commission to go out to the world to tell them about the love of the Lord. And he's sending the disciples out for just that purpose. And I think one of the problems is you know, when the Lord's telling us, he tells his disciples, you guys need to get moving. It's time to go and to get busy, because the problem with this is, like, we enjoy comfort. They enjoy comfort. You guys enjoy comfort. That's why you're sitting down right now and I'm standing up. You guys are enjoying comfort. I mean, man, you just got done worshiping for 10 minutes, for crying out loud. Of course you need a seat. What is this, a sweatshop, right? We like to have that comfort and to be in that spot where we're not getting challenged a lot of the time. And I think sometimes with Christians, and you know some people like this, the idea of it is I'm going to buy a house with a bunker. I'm going to fill it up with Bibles, guns, Taco Bell, and I'm just going to wait this whole end of the world thing out. How many of you guys know that it's just an eclipse coming? All right? Have you seen it? Everybody's freaking out, and they're putting all these codes together, and, oh, it's going through this city called Nineveh and this other place, you know, and the people are nuts, you guys. Nobody knows when it's going to happen, the end of the world, but, you know, we need to be out there sharing the gospel with people and not just getting in a bunker in a holy huddle and just saying, hey, man, I'm just going to wait this thing out until Jesus comes back or the whole end of the world happens, but either way, I'm not stepping out or getting involved in it. And he's calling us to be a sent people, not a sit-down people. And I love sitting down. I've got the best recliner in my living room. It's leather, it's plush, it's super nice. You press a button and, you know, you're just getting reclined and everything. But I find out that the older I get, the longer I sit in that chair, man, it's hard. It's like when you go to get out. You know what I'm saying? It's like I sit in that chair for an hour, and then I go to get up out of it, And I'm kidding you not, it sounds like Rice Krispies. Like, it's starting in my ankles, man. It's just crack, 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 and then my knees, and then my back. And then I feel like I got to, like, do Pilates, just getting out of my chair, because I'm just so bound up from sitting. And that's what happens, you know, in our Christianity, when we're just sitting, we get all bound up, and things don't work like they're supposed to work. God's dumping into us. He wants to dump us. He wants us dumping out to other people, you guys, and to be a sent people, not a sitting people. And it's important that we get the mission in our mind, because we're going to have this attitude of, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there. It's crazy. It's a dumpster fire. Have you guys got your glasses on? Like, do you know what's going on out here? This place is a mess. And it's important that we have the mission of God calling his disciples together, because he's calling us together. It's not just about them and then there. It's about us here now. And we've got to, and he's saying, hey, listen, keep the mission before you, because if you don't, you're not gonna want to go out there. Where's our mission? It's all of Newport, guys. It's CrossFit. It's the gym. It's co-op. You know, it's you walking on the beach. It's your house. It's your husband. It's your wife. It's your kids. Where's the mission? It's right there in front of you. The kingdom of God, he says, is at hand, which means it's as close to you as your hand. Where's your mission? Who's around you? That's it. And the Lord's like, listen, I'm not asking you to do something that I haven't done, or I'm not going to empower you to do. Just go out a little bit. Go out to the lost sheep of Israel right here. Later, we'll tackle everybody. But how about we just take a step in our front yard first? So the Lord's commissioning them out. And so Jesus, you know, not only is he saying that, hey, listen, I'm sending you out, but as you go out, you're going to have to actually open your mouth and talk to somebody. This is weird. Like, he's telling them, you know, don't think someone's going to bump into you at Walmart and be like, oh, man, could you tell me about Jesus? How many times that happened? So you're going to have to go out, open the mouth, and have a conversation with somebody about the Lord. He tells them, it sounds crazy, but he's got to tell them this. You know, they're like children. You just got to tell them the most basic of things. In verse 7, he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. So as you're going out, actually go out and open your mouth and speak to somebody, you guys. Tell them what we've been doing for the last 3 years, you know, and what you've been seeing and what you've been knowing and learning about me. Just go out and do it and share the gospel. Open your mouth. So I was reading that, and it kind of begs the question, because if he's saying go out and just tell people about the gospel, then the question is, and don't raise your hand about it, but when was the last time that you shared with somebody that's not a Christian? You know, it's so easy to talk to each other because, you know, we're all on the same team, but when was the last time you spoke to somebody who doesn't know Jesus? And you sat that person down, and you said, listen, I just want to tell you the goodness of God in my life. I was blind, but I see. I was wrapped up in dope and addiction, but now I'm free. Lust and anger. Man, God's been washing me from the inside out. You know, because God doesn't wash you from the outside in. That's the cool thing. And I wish, you know, more people would, especially us as Christians, I wish we would get that. Because when it's washing from the outside in, it's like, I gotta do this, I gotta set up these boundaries, I gotta put up these parameters, I gotta. When Jesus is all about, it's, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna work it, I'm gonna change your heart. And you're like, but Jason, what do you mean? Like one day, I'm just gonna wake up and the desires of my heart are gonna be different than what they are today? Yes, because that's what God does. He changes it from the inside out. Man, is that good news? Because you can't do it. We lack in that department. And I want to encourage you this morning. Man, if you're in that season and there's something you're dealing with and it won't go away, here's the good news about it. Pray to the Lord about it. Keep turning to God. And this is what will happen. He's going to change the desires of your heart. And he does it. And so when was the last time that you sat somebody down and had that conversation and just said, listen, I want to tell you what God's done. You guys, when was the last time? And that's a bad question for some of us that are either in ministry or we've been walking with the Lord for years, you know. That's a hard question, because you know what? Then there might be something there I got to deal with. And just say, Lord, I got to keep this mission in my mind, because I'm not going to want to go out there unless I do. You know, and as a pastor, I hang out. This is kind of a good thing, I guess, and maybe a bad thing. I don't know. I hang out with Christians a lot. And so, you know, the opportunity to talk to people is kind of, you know, it's like you guys. But I had a situation this week where an athlete reached out to me, and he said, hey, Jason, I had a question about this fighter. And he says he won this big match. And, you know, it was interesting, because after the match that he won, he gave Jesus all the credit. He's like, man, the Lord, I give the credit to the Lord. He's blessed my body. He's blessed my mind. He's gotten me through all this garbage in my past. And I had a broken relationship, and I was on dope, and I was in the gutter, and my wife was leaving me, and all this stuff. And he says, but if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have been here today. And the interesting thing about the interview is they cut the "if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ" out, and they posted it up. And so the guy asked me, he's not a Christian, but he asked me, and he said, Jason, why do you think they're cutting out Jesus? I mean, if the guy's like, I just want to give thanks to Buddha, you know, Confucius, Mickey Mouse, whoever, it's like they're going to be cool with it. But what is it with Jesus that as soon as his name is mentioned, they got to cut it out of the news clip? And I was like, here's why. And I was so stoked, because I was like, there's power in the name of Jesus. Nobody saves like Jesus saves. Nobody heals like Jesus heals. And I was like, man, and here's the deal. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, and people don't like the sin word. And he's like, oh. And that's what it is, isn't it? People don't want to know they're jacked up. But what are you going to do to get better? You going to deny it? And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And so there's this point in our life where, you know, we're sharing the gospel with people and keeping that mission on the forefront. I'm just saying, listen, if it's been a minute, and if you answered the question, man, I can't remember the last time I shared the gospel with somebody, hey, this is your wake-up call. Get your helmet on and go for it and see what God will do. It doesn't have to get weird. We're going to talk about that in a second. So now, you know, if you ask the Lord tomorrow when you wake up, would you provide an opportunity for me today to share the gospel? Do you think God's going to say no? I doubt it. Or maybe even today, man, maybe ask God today, hey, open up an opportunity for me to make a difference in somebody else. God's going to answer the call. And so in verse 8, Jesus is going to send him out. Check it out. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses or man purse. Did you guys see my, I got one. I'm not ashamed of it. You guys seen it. It's rocking. All right. Right here in the old King James. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor staves, for the workman's worthy of his meat. And to whatever city or town ye shall enter, and inquire of it who is worthy, and there abide until you go. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. It's kind of interesting, because the Jews had a tradition, and you know, Jesus is very Jewish. They had traditions too, and they would salute. They would tell people. They'd be like, "Man, if they meet somebody the first time, be like, hey, you know, peace be upon you. May you have prosperity and blessing." But then, if the person crawfished on them and did them dirty, they'd take that blessing back. They'd be like, "You know what? I actually take that blessing back. I hope that you're not prospered, and that you got stomach problems from wheat for a year." And they would just take that blessing right back. And Jesus is like, "Listen. When you get there, bless that place. See how it goes. And if they welcoming you in, they're open to hear the gospel, then ride on. Stay in that place." And verse 14, "Whoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than in the day of judgment for that city. So Jesus sends them down. He sends them out. And what's rad about this, you guys, it's not just, look, just we're almost ready to close it, but what's cool about this is that when he sends them out, and it says that these people are sick, they're bound up with a bunch of issues, demonic, spiritual issues, and he sends them out. You know, the principle behind the practice, I think, is this, is that Jesus is telling these guys, go, don't just tell people I love them, but show them. Because what's that old saying, actions speak louder than words? And what's he saying? He's like, go and tell people about me, but I want you to know you're going to show them I love them. Because it's so easy for us to tell people the love, oh man, God loves you, I'm praying for you, you know, and we are, and I do this too. If I talk to you, hey, I'm praying for you guys, you know, things like that. But you know what? There's going to be a point where you got to go beyond prayer into some practice. And Jesus is like, listen, don't just tell people I love them, but show them. Like, actually step out and say, hey, can I get involved? Do you need help? What can I do? Instead of just being that person that's just like, man, I'm going to pray for you guys, you know. And then so what he tells them is as you go out, he goes, I'm going to provide for you. He does say, he makes it about a financial issue. He's like, you don't have to take gold, you don't have to take silver, you don't have to take your man purse, none of that stuff. But he's like, the point of it is when you step out on faith, then I'm going to provide for you. And it could be financially. You know, if you're in ministry and like money's tough, and there's been so many times, I'll tell you guys over the years, where you get sleepless nights and all of that stuff. But that old saying rings true where he guides, he's going to provide because it's his provision. He's going to do it somehow, some way. You know, and a lot of times you just don't know. You just got to step out in faith. But if you have a ministry or if you're starting out in a ministry and money's tough, there's good news there. It might be low, but it's not gone. And God's going to provide for you because he's still holding you in that spot. He's going to provide. Spiritually, you know, we've all had those people that are going through difficult times, and maybe you're the go-to person for them. And you're just like, man, I hope they don't call me. You know, I don't, and it's not that you don't want, it's not because you don't like, you love them, but you're just like, man, I hope they don't call me because I don't know what to say, and they're going through this horrible season in their life, and I just don't know what to do, Lord. I pray for them, I love them. Bring, I hope it's not the person I was just saying, I hope doesn't call me, Lord, because, you know, I love them, but I just don't know what to, bring, oh, it's that person, it's that person. And you're like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And you know what? The Lord's like, listen, I'm going to provide for you in that moment. Emotionally, you guys raising kids and they're going crazy. Your husbands, you know, you're dealing with. The Lord is going to provide for you. He's going to give you that strength to endure. It's like Spurgeon said, he goes, I'm not praying for a lighter load, but a stronger back. And that's what we need to be about. We don't need lighter loads. We need to have a stronger back. And the Lord says, when you step out, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. Vicky, you know, we had a guy come into our, a kid. He was like 15 years old this week. And he comes into the shop. He was an Asian kid and a part of a cult. And no joke. And Vicky's very... she's got a very good heart. I'm like, anybody comes around, I'm already sizing them up. Like, man, what's up? So this kid comes in, and he goes, hey, how you guys doing? My name is so-and-so, and I'm on mission. And I was just wondering, you know, we're out here making a difference, and I was just wondering if you can make a donation. And Vicky's like, you know, gosh, what's the organization? Well, it's non-denominational. Oh, okay. And you guys are making, yeah, he goes, you know, we promote that, you know, no sex before marriage and stuff. And so Vicky's like, okay, that's good for a young kid, you know. And she goes, but hey, here's the deal. I don't have any cash. I don't have any cash on me. And this kid was good because he looks over in the corner and he goes, but you got Square Machine. And so Vicky was like, oh, man. So Vicky's like, hey, you got a point. And so what does she do? She gets that Square Machine out, and she gives this kid money. And I asked her, I said, so he gave us a little name. I said, I said, do you know who that group was that you just gave money to? And she goes, no. And I said, have you ever heard of a Mooney? And I said, the guys that are selling you flowers at the airport and they're all weird. This kid was of the Mooney, the Moonies. And you guys, how many of you guys have heard of the Moonies? Anyways, they're a gnarly, just check them out. They're a gnarly organization, but they're working them kids, I'll tell you that. And I said, you just gave it to a cult. And I felt kind of bad because Vicky's heart was good, but you gave to a cult. So anyways, the kid goes, but you know what Jesus is saying? He's like, listen, when I'm sending you out and I'm putting you in the places that I want you to be, you don't have to go begging for money. I'm going to take care of it. You don't got to beg for me to strengthen you. You don't have to beg for the words to say. I'm going to give you everything that you need when you need it. And so in verse 16, it says that, and we'll close with this, behold, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they're going to deliver you up to the councils and they'll scourge you in the synagogues, and ye shall be brought before the governors and kings for my name's sake, and as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought or how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour which ye shall speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father that speaks through you. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and father child, and child shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated for all men's sake, all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end will be saved. And we'll close it out there. You know, the guys, as Jesus is sending them out up until this point, they've got to be thinking, you're giving us power, you're providing for us, you're telling us, this is going to be like, you're sending us out, this is like you're sending us out on a backpack journey through Yellowstone in a VW bus, and you're going to take care of everything. It must be great. We've got everything we need. We're going to go for it. We're going to tell people about Jesus. They're going to hear it. They're going to accept it. They're going to get saved. It's going to be great. And Jesus is like, well, not so much. I'm actually going to send you guys out as sheep before wolves. And, you know, I'm no zoologist, but I don't think that's going to be, it's like, that seems dangerous to me. And, because it's rough out there. That's what he's telling them. So what's he say when he says, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves? He says this, he says, you're going to have to be wise. You're going to have to be smart about how you give the gospel to people. So that means when I go to Starbucks, or you go to Starbucks, you know, and you're like, hey, I want two grande vanilla sweet cream nitro brews with six Splenda extra sweet cream and two pup cups. And they're like, okay, that's going to be $11.50, pull forward. And I'm like, you're going to hell. I'll be right up there. That's probably, I don't know, man. I think they're probably not going to respond to that. You know, and Jesus is saying when we're talking to people, you guys, be wise about it. Be smart. You remember how Jesus handled that woman at the well who was thirsty in more ways than one, right? This girl had like five men in her life. This Jerry Springer, it was gnarly. And Jesus knew that she had a thirst in her that only God could fill. She was thirsty. That's what we call, you know, when people are looking to hook up. They're so thirsty, right? And this girl had that thirst. And the Lord was like, man, this is what you need. You need God in your life. And he was able to witness to her and talk to her. And it changed her life because she had been worshiping her relationships. And it's sometimes you got to cut them things off. And the Lord's like, you need me. And what happened? She received the gospel. She goes and she proclaims it to all of her community. And everybody up there in that place was getting saved is what the Lord was telling us about. So listen, as we close this morning, worship team, come on up. So much more, but we're going to unpack on Wednesday night. But here's the thing, is we're closing out this morning, you guys, and we're looking at this big picture of what's going on with these guys at this point. Well, they're on mission. It's that time where now, you know, they've been sitting with Jesus long enough, you guys. They've been learning long enough. They've been watching long enough. They've been seeing it. They know the word. And now Jesus is like, now you got to get moving. get out into the dumpster fire. Don't hop into the bunker with your Bibles and guns and Taco Bell and just hide and hope for the best and maybe it's going to get better, because God's done a work in you. And if he's done a work in you in some way and he's speaking with you in your quiet time, you just go out and you're going to share it. And if you're here this morning, you're just like, man, Jason, that's your job. You're the pastor. You go and do that stuff. No. That's all of our job, is to go out and just reach a community with the love of Christ and telling them, hey, man, listen. And you got a story. This is the thing. It's not like God hasn't done a miraculous work in you guys or in me. We've got a story. You know, and he's just saying, listen, go out and share the love of the Lord. Be wise. Don't be rolling up on people and saying, hey, how you doing? Did you know you're going to hell today? You know, God doesn't hear sinners. And you got your big old poster board on the corner freaking everybody out. But to go out there and share the love of God with people. Yes, there's truth, and we got to give it. But here's the thing. We don't want to be a people that loves truth over love. They got to work together. You know what I'm saying? And it's so easy to just pound people with the Bible. So look, as we stand this morning, we're going to take communion. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to take communion this morning. And you guys want some homework? I'll give it to you. How about right now we pray that this week would be the week that God opens up an opportunity for us to reach somebody else. How about that? Is that sketchy? Is that a sketchy prayer? Think about it. Is that kind of, that might be kind of sketchy. What if God does it? What if he does it? What if you're saying, hey, Lord, I need you to open up an opportunity for me to share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know it? Is that making you nervous? Are you sweating a little bit? Let's do it. Let's get crazy with the Lord and see what happens. Hit that send button. Father, we love you. You know, as we're reading this story of this account, as you're calling the disciples together, Lord, and just how you poured into them. You didn't tell them just to figure it out. You know, hopefully you guys do good. It was, you spent time with them. They spent time with you. They listened, they learned, they watched, and they went out. And the world's never been the same again, God. We can look around today and say, if it wasn't for Jesus, this world would be a whole lot worse. But it was individual brother and sisters going out in your name and the authority given to them by the provision you gave to say, listen, I'm gonna provide for you. Just go. And so, Father, I ask that this week, Lord, on behalf of the church, even if somebody's not praying this right now, I'm going to pray it for them. Lord, that you would just open an opportunity for them to share the gospel to them, to those in their circle, whoever, you bring an opportunity to them, Lord. And it be undeniable. They're just going to be like, man, Jason prayed over that guy. Yes, Lord, that they see it, that they know it for beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that they actually open their mouth and said, it's because of Christ things are new. Because of you, Lord, because of your sacrifice on the cross for our sins, we're justified. And if you're here this morning and you didn't know that, there's good news for you. Your life of sin can be forgiven in faith in Christ. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, just ask the Lord to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to create in you a new heart, a pure heart, a righteous heart. Father, I pray over those that are praying this morning for you to come into their life and that are confessing their sins before you and faith turning to you. Lord, that you just breathe in new life, even now. Give them just a hope and a peace, Father God. Lord, as we take communion, we do it with a heart of humility and gratitude for the sacrifice on the cross. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We don't take it in vain. We love you, Jesus, in your name.